Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we usually have the bumps that are usually before we preach are usually calm, cool, and chill. And this one is like blowing your head off, right? But you know this, it's actually on purpose. Because here is the vision for what we've tried to do this year as we coming in as elders is just a reality that the number of voices, the number of opinions, the number of headlines that hit our lives every day is outrageous, almost like the sound coming off that video. But if we want to be a people who know and follow Jesus, we actually want to make sure that God's voice is the loudest voice in our life. And so that's the reason we're doing this series called God Speaks. As we're looking at the scripture and saying, God, how do you speak to your people? And we're looking at that because we actually want to begin to think in our hearts, how do we turn down all the noise, all the things that are distracting, all the things that are harmful, and how do we turn up God's voice in our life? And so last week we started that, and we started at a very strategic place, which is the scripture, right? Pastor Matt came in and we started the series because if we want to know where God speaks and what he's saying, there's a lot, like 66 books, there's a lot going on here. I've given my life to studying and I still don't know it all. I'm still learning so much. And so this is where we start. This is the bedrock of this. But this weekend, we're going to talk about that how God speaks through the Holy Spirit. So usually, I kind of come in and kind of have a fun little intro, kind of woo you to listening. At least that's what I think is happening. But this week, would it be okay if we just jump right in? We got a lot to cover. Is that be all right with you guys? I want a little bit more excitement than that this morning. All right. Thank you. All right. So we're going to jump right in. And here's the point that I want to say from the beginning. God speaks. You just need to know that. He speaks. And actually, we can look throughout the scriptures in our triune God, God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He speaks throughout all of the Trinity. I want to read this. I want to start us off just to remind us that God is and has always been speaking to us. It says this in Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. And in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And God has appointed him, being Jesus, heir over all things and made the universe through him. This text right here is telling us that God the Father speaks. In fact, Genesis 1, we see that God is speaking creation into being, that he is making creation. But all throughout the Old Testament, God spoke to us through the prophets. In fact, you guys were with us in the Exodus book study. What happened? God called Moses to the top of the mountain. God downloaded to Moses what needed to be spoke to the people. Moses took it to the people. And so God spoke historically through the prophets and in other ways. He spoke in a lot of different ways to the Old Testament, but that's primarily how we saw it. And then we read in Hebrews that when Jesus came, that now God the Father is speaking through Christ the Son. And so every time we see Jesus moving around, he is actually communicating and speaking to us as God. And what we find out about Jesus is Jesus actually says, listen, I'm not here telling you things about me. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I'm only representing, I'm only speaking from God. So we see that God the Father speaks, Christ the Son speaks. Now here's the really great thing. We started last week in the scriptures. The prophets are in this book. Jesus' teachings in the Gospels are in this book. And that's one of the reasons that we can stand on so much confidence that God's word is how he speaks, because here this book captures God the Father's word. It captures Jesus' words. But we also find out that he's gonna speak with the other part of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. I want you to read this verse. John 16:7 says this, "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you." The idea is that Jesus knows he's gonna sin, knows that he's gonna end and he's gonna go to heaven to be with the Father. But what Jesus says here is really important for us. The Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guiding us, was always God's plan A. It was for our benefit that he would go and that the Spirit would come. This is what Christ says the Spirit will do. This is John 15:26. And when the counselor comes, this word counselor, it's a term used in the, especially in the Gospels, for the Holy Spirit. Often it's translated as counselor or advocate. It's the Greek word parakletos. And what it means is he is the counselor. He's the one who comes and comforts. When the counselor comes, the one I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. What we find is that the Spirit of God is going to testify about the things of God through Jesus. There's a counselor who's going to testify, and this is not God's plan B. It's his plan A. So what we're going to do this morning is a little bit different than what we normally do. I'm actually going to, usually we have one text, we stay posted up in that and look through that. This morning, we're just going to be all over the place. So we have all the scripture on the screens. If you want a Bible drill, like when you were in little school, like Sunday school, this is your day, okay? We're going to be flipping all over the place. But if not, it's going to be on the screen. And what I'm going to do is kind of peel back the layers of all the different ways that we see in the scriptures that the Spirit speaks to us. I'm going to give it in three broad categories. I'm going to give some descriptions. And then, because this topic can kind of feel far off or like mystical in some sense, I'm just going to give you some personal examples from my life. Would that be okay? Just to try to say, hey, this is actually very approachable. I hope it will be helpful for you. So here's what you want to write down if you're taking notes this morning. God speaks, the Holy Spirit, here's how he speaks to the Holy Spirit, teaches, guides, and reveals. He teaches, guides, and reveals. So we're going to go through each of those topics, and I'll explain each of them when we get there. Let's begin with the Holy Spirit teaches. This is John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, look what it says, he will, read this with me, teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit has a role for us that he will teach us all truth and remind us of the things of God. And so as he teaches, there's often a word that you'll hear in theological circles when we think about this, and it's the word illumination. It's the word illumination. Let me explain what that is. It's when you're reading God's word, and maybe it's a passage you've never read, but often in my time, in my own soul, it's a passage that I've heard a million times. Maybe I've preached a sermon over it, but it's almost like the Spirit of God puts a spiritual highlighter over a verse or a word or something that needs to be downloaded into my soul. This is what happens in my life. I always say it's like this illumination is when God's word goes from your head to your soul. Has that ever happened to you? I want to tell you, like, just give an example this week of how this happened in my life. Early morning, I wake up early in the morning, and for my own personal, your mileage may vary, but I feel like the Lord meets better with me when I have great coffee, okay? That's just the way I roll. So I go down every morning, and I make a pour-over coffee for myself, and I go up. And why I'm doing that, because I'm prone to get distracted, I listen to an audio devotional while I'm making my coffee before I go to read my Bible. And the narrator on this devotional said, and he quoted a passage, and I was like, it stuck with me so much that when I got up to my chair, I looked it up and started reading it. And I read it over and over for probably 5 minutes meditating on this verse. This is it. This is just this week. This is Monday morning in my life, how the Spirit of God illuminated this passage in my life. This is 1 John 4:18. It's not going to be on the screen. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. The one who fears is not complete in love. Just, God, you're telling me if I'm fearing, I'm not truly understanding how much you love me and will care for me. Okay? Then I just went to my Bible, normal Bible reading, okay? I opened up, it's Psalm 34, and this is verse 4 in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. And I'm like, everywhere I go, there's fear in this morning. And it's in that moment, like I just began to pray, God, what are you trying to show? And I pull out my journal, and probably for the next 10 minutes, I just list every fear, both huge, small, irrational, little. One, it was just a task I had to do this week, and I don't want to do it. I listed every fear that I could possibly think and said, God, if I truly understand that you love me, you're going to rescue me from all my fears. You're going to protect me. And just a moment where the Spirit of God just illuminated verses that I've preached over, that I've looked at. Like, these are verses that I've known, but just in that moment, the Spirit of God is illuminating those texts in my life. So he teaches. He illuminates often. Often a part of that illumination is that he just reminds us Like we're just going about life, and maybe it's in conviction, maybe it's in comfort, but he just reminds us, and this is where scripture memory is really important. If you don't memorize scripture, I wanna encourage you to. I interact with a lot of adults like, I could memorize when I was a kid, I can't do now. That's a lie, your brain works. Memorize some scripture, it's good for you. But get some scripture in your soul, because if you have that in your soul, the Spirit has a lot that he can remind you of. Often, God reminds me of truth through worship songs as well. I'll give you examples. Same Monday morning, just read all this sort of stuff, and then I'm sitting and I'm walking through the morning and my devotional's over, and as I'm moving to start getting ready throughout the day, a song comes to mind, reminds me of a song. Very in line with everything that he's walked with me through that morning. It's a song we sing here. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And so I'm getting clean in the shower, singing, right? On my way to work, that song's on repeat that morning, almost all morning, because God's reminding me of these truths. This is what the Spirit does. It doesn't have to be crazy. It's just a simple reality that the Spirit of God illuminates, and he reminds us because the Holy Spirit teaches. The next thing he does is guides. The Holy Spirit guides. Because the idea is that we do need to be taught scripture. It needs for comfort, like God comforted me with this fear idea. Sometimes it's conviction. That, like, guys, if you don't get convicted in God's word, you're doing it wrong. He sometimes needs to convict us of sin. But there's also a lot of life that isn't black or white. It's not like the Bible says do exactly this. A lot of life is really left to wisdom and discernment. There's no book, chapter, and verse for what should I be doing in my career. There's no crystal clear teaching of God's word of, should you go to this school? Should you marry this person? Should you invest in this? Should we move? Should we sell our house? How in the world do I parent myself, parent our kids in this season? You should come to Parent Equip. But like, there's life is gray a lot of times. And I wanna read a verse. This is John 16:13. And this is what it says. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak out of his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit guides us. And sometimes it's not a direct truth, a direct thing in the scriptures that he's reminding us and impressing, but there is guiding that the Spirit of God will do in our life. I call these inner convictions. That's my word. It's not a really deeply theological thing. Inner convictions. And here's the reason I call it that. I want you to read Romans 8:16, because I want to show you how this comes out in life in reality. This is Romans 8:16. Paul writing to Rome says this, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you see how he does this? He's reminding them of truth in this matter, but the Spirit of God testifies. It's that exact word that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. He testifies to our own soul. And then 9:1, just a little bit later in the context, 9:1, Paul says this, and I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies to me through the Holy Spirit. So do you see this reality? The Spirit testifies to our conscience. Our own conscience testifies to us, and this is all done in the Holy Spirit. And so this is a really important piece, and I don't want you to miss this. This is a little bit of tidbit. I think this can be really helpful for some of you. 99% of the time, when people say, I heard from God, or I heard a voice from God, what they're meaning is this. They don't mean a literal voice. That can happen. It clearly happens in the scriptures. But what they mean is that there's an inner conviction in their soul that the Spirit of God testified to their own soul. Their own soul testified to them. And all of this was done in the Spirit. There's an inner conviction. God can speak, but there's an inner conviction that feels like his voice that he's speaking to us. Let me give some examples of how this happens in the scriptures. I'm gonna read several passages. And before I say that, here's some things you may say when this is true. You'll hear this. I feel like God is leading me. You maybe have heard people say, I feel a tug at my heart, or I feel prompted by the Spirit. These are the kinds of words we'll use when this kind of thing is happening. Look at what happens, some examples in the scripture. This is Matthew 4:1. I'm gonna just blow through them and then we'll talk about them. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay? These are green lights. These are the kind of inner convictions that are green lights. You need to go. Acts 20, 22. And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting me. So Paul's saying, listen, I'm going back to Jerusalem. I'm compelled. I have inner conviction that I got to go. I also have inner conviction that God is warning me it's not going to go well. Next is Acts 8, 29. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. Romans 8, 14. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. So there's these moments, there's green lights in our life where we feel like there's an inner conviction that we're to go, that God is leading us to go in a certain direction. Let me give examples from my life. One of the bigger ones that I can tell you is in 2012, a church from Iowa called us. It wasn't Keystone. A sister church called and said, hey, we're looking for a worship guy. Would you consider coming? It's a long story. And through the whole process, I was very hesitant, but I need you to know this. It made no sense on paper. It made no financial sense. It made no, like, career-wise a great move. It would look like a horrible idea on paper, but I need you to know this. My wife and I, looking at each other, felt compelled by God. This is our next step. I haven't told many people this, but I told the first service, so I guess I'll tell y'all. When I called to say yes, I was literally shaking. Because I knew God had called us to it. I knew in an inner conviction that this was of the Lord, but it was hard. It was scary to say yes to it. But this, like, God has led us. There's no book, chapter, and verse of move your family from Fort Worth to Waukee, Iowa. There's no book, chapter, and verse, but there's a leading of the Spirit, inner conviction that that's true. Maybe some smaller things, like normal day. In pastoral ministry, this is one of a superpower. When God brings someone to mind, you interact with them. I just assume that when God brings people to my mind, he's bringing them so that I can pray for them. So a short text, a quick call, hey, how are you doing? This in my mind are just like, it's a prompting of the Spirit. I'll give an example. I'm just gonna read you the text. I was up one morning worshiping and reading God's word. God brought a dear brother to mind. And just so you know, I hadn't talked to this dude in over a year, and he lived in Canada. I hadn't seen him in forever, but God brought him to mind, and I spent a significant amount of time praying for that brother this morning. I'm just gonna read you the text, just so you can see, when God leads, there's often fruit there. This is it. Good morning, brother. I've been listening to worship, brings back great memories. I'll forever cherish the days when we got to serve together. Be blessed. I'm praying that the Lord would refresh you and give you boldness today and the rest of your days to come. I skipped over it because time. Some of the stuff I said. And this is what he replied immediately. He said, your timing is great. Spent all day in the hospital yesterday with Linda. She miscarried what would have been our fifth precious baby. We woke up this morning refreshed and ready to worship him. Your text and this song will give me the words today to do that. I didn't know what was going on in his life. I just know that God brought a brother to mind. And it's time to pray for my brother. Encourage him. Send him a message. Send him this song. We've worshiped together with this song, friend. And God knew, right? God led in that moment and met him in that need. God often gives us inner convictions with green lights, but there's also some inner convictions with red lights, with red lights. The Spirit of God will sometimes stop us in what we are doing. Things we may say, I have a check in my spirit. I feel uneasy. It doesn't feel right. It feels like the Lord's closing a door. These are some words that we might say. This is what Acts 16 says happened with the apostles. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Red light. The Spirit of God, in an inner conviction, said, put your brakes on. You're not going this way. And this happens in our life. In your life, it very may be something like a bad decision that God's gonna keep you safe from. Maybe sometimes it seems like a good decision, but God just doesn't want it for you in this season. Maybe he's protecting you. Maybe he's providing for you. You don't know, but there's just time. The Spirit of God inside will inner conviction, testify to your spirit, stop. I want to give you an example of this in my own life. One of my responsibilities here is to hire people. As we've grown, that's done that a lot. I can think of two different occasions where I had a candidate who was qualified for the job, who was incredibly gifted. There was nothing wrong with them. And it wasn't a warning from the Holy Spirit of this is actually a bad person and you shouldn't hire them. It was literally like, Brent, they're great, but you should not hire them. I'm super glad that's true. One of them ended up planting a church and he should have. I actually told him, I'm not gonna hire you because I think you should plant a church because you're really good. Another guy, it was so hard to say, this isn't a place for you because I didn't have a reason except that God said, this isn't the person in this moment. So sometimes it's a big decision, but often sometimes it's just small everyday life. Can I tell you where I feel like the Holy Spirit has said stop to me a lot? Here's where it's at. And I'm not picking on this, but I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about you. If it works for you, work, take it. Social media. In my soul, in this season, social media is not helpful. And here's the reason why. When I'm tired, I can scroll for hours. Anybody else say amen to that? Like, that's what I do. I'm tired, so I might as well not go to sleep and just do this with my thumb. I need to exercise my thumb. I don't have the self-discipline in this season to not do that. There's seasons where I totally have. It ain't this season. So I feel like often the Holy Spirit says, delete the app. So here's, I delete the app. It's very rare that you'll find me and a social media app is on my phone. Now, I check it. I check social media. So if someone's like, did you see this? I'm like, no. But if I wanna check it, I just have a boundary for me. I gotta go download it. It's actually a really good boundary for my soul. And then what happens is I don't have a lot of self-control. And so then I just start exercising my thumb again. I'm like, oh, stop, and I'll delete, right? And so again, I'm not harassing social media. I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you what the Spirit spoke inside of me. Like, stop. This is not helpful for you in this season. There's been seasons where it's been incredible, but I just have to delete the apps. I go in about once a week, yep, cut up and delete, because I can't do it. That's how I feel like, just personally. It's the way I feel like the Spirit has led me recently. So the Spirit guides through inner conviction. Sometimes they're red lights, sometimes they're green lights. And some of you are Midwestern, Lutheran, logical, heady folk, and you're like, but Brent, doesn't this seem a little subjective? Maybe. Because often, fleshy desires can feel like an inner conviction. Often, pride can feel like a green light. Sometimes, a fear can look like a red light. How in the world do we know if this is our flesh or if it's the Spirit of God? And I would tell you, you're right, it totally can get weird. But I wanna say this. I wanna get a little bit more subjective before I give you some rules. So not only one does he teach, he also guides. Next is he reveals, he reveals. Jump in with me. I wanna just say this at the beginning. This is way less common. It's not an everyday experience, but it does happen. I want you to read with me what Joel said when he was prophesying the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus left at Pentecost. This is what he said. In my Bible, the heading says, God's promise of his Spirit. In verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and after this, I will pour out my Spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will see visions. And I will pour out my Spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. Part of the Spirit is there's gonna be visions, there's gonna be dreams, and there's gonna be prophesying. And so let's walk through those a little bit. What is a vision? Let me just give you this, a vision, a simple definition of what a vision is it's a picture in your mind eye. God brings to mind a picture, maybe it's of the future, of what he thinks will happen. Now I wanna say this, it's not a capital V vision like John the Revelator on Patmos as he's writing Revelation. That's not the kind of vision we're gonna get, okay? But often God will give you a vision, a picture in your mind of where you're going. A very practical one that you can understand if you come to Keystone is that we feel like as elders, the Lord has given us a vision for this church. The vision of what it means to be an overflowing fountainhead of gospel expansion through church planting, what it means to reach the campus and the city. And also part of that vision is the new building. We feel like through prayer and fasting, God, you have asked us to do this. This is where we're going. So it's a practical way of God giving a vision. But this also can be very practical in our lives as well. Karen and I are kind of moving into this summer. It feels like a new season where Karen and I are beginning to dream of what the next year will look like in our lives. We feel like God is giving us a fresh vision, a new way to lead our family. It's super encouraging. So it can be for that in your life. I could give story after story, but there's examples of it being big and small and personal, of God just giving a picture of where he's taking you. Next is dreams. Dreams. Some might call this visions in the night, okay? It's very common in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see this all the way from Genesis all the way through the end. There's always dreams. In the New Testament, we see it as well. We see it with Joseph when the announcement of Jesus. We see it with the Magi. We see it with Pilate's wife. We see that God comes and speaks to people in dreams. I'll say this. Some of you have terrifying dreams. And you need to know, God's probably not speaking to your nightmares, right? Like some of you, if God was speaking through your nightmares, we'd all be in trouble. I've known some people with night terrors and that was supposed to be towards them, but y'all didn't laugh, so I would move on. But here's what I wanna say. God can use this. God can do this. I don't think this is a common thing. In fact, I can think of like two examples in me and my wife's lives where a dream would come and we felt like it was from the Lord. The first one is this. It's just a part of our story. I was a worship pastor for many, many years. Early in our marriage, my wife woke up in the middle of the night with a very stark dream, and she's like, I've never forgot it. She woke up in the middle of the night and had this dream that I was a lead pastor and I was exactly where God wanted me to be. She never told me that, ever in my life. I had never pursued being a lead pastor ever in my life. I was super happy doing what Dan just came up and showed you this morning. Like, that was what I did. But when I began to interact and have an interview for what this role would be, you know what's interesting? My wife remembered that dream and she said, Brent, you never knew this, but I had a dream early on in our ministry that this is what you did. And I know this is a hard step, but from my perspective, I do feel like it's from the Lord and he's prepared us for that. It was just a gift. We could have said yes without it, but it was just a gift to encourage and to strengthen the decision that we were having to make. Dreams can come. Next is prophecies. Prophecies. God reveals himself through prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 1, read this with me. And pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in a tongue is not speaking to people, but to God. Since no one understands him, he speaks mysteries in the spirit. This is where we're gonna focus. And on the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The person who prophesies, the scripture says, speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The concept of prophesying is making God's heart known to edify the church. Another famous theologian who talks about this, Wayne Grudem, says it this way. He tries to dumb down the definition and says it this way. Telling something God has spontaneously brought to mind. So when God brings something to mind, then we deliver that to someone for their encouragement, for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. We could talk a little bit about this. We're gonna speak next week about how God speaks through others, and we might pull some of this back up then. But here's the reality. I don't have time to tell the full story, so I'll try to tell it quickly. There was a season in my life I was working on a massive project. I was writing a record. It came up. And I was exhausted. I had about three or four more songs I had to write. Studio was booked. It was really stressful. And in a moment, a lady that I don't know, I knew who she was, didn't know anything I was walking through, came and said, Brent, I just want you to say this. She gave me three words. And those three words literally changed the rest of the direction of that project. In a way that she would have never known, but it categorically changed the direction of what I was doing in one of the most powerful ways that I can imagine. It wasn't something like, you must do this, Brent, or you're gonna, it was just encouragement to keep going in a direction that was really hard for me to go. And it meant all the world of difference. She gave a word that God brought to mind. It strengthened me, it encouraged me, and it brought consolation in the season that I was at. And maybe sometimes it feels like you'll hear someone say, I have a word for you. Maybe someone will say, hey, I just want to encourage you, and they give you some sort of word. Depending on the background you'd have, here's what I just want to say. The Spirit will bring these things to mind for the edification of the church so that we'd strengthen, encourage, and console each other. But I need to say something really quickly. Someone bringing something to mind and quote unquote prophesying is not scripture. You understand this, right? This is encouragement, it's strengthening, it's consolation, but it's not on par with scripture. Only God's word is true all the time. In fact, the scripture tells us that we shouldn't despise these things, but we should test them because they may be wrong. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:20. It says this, don't despise prophecies, but test all things, hold on to what is good. Hold on to what's good. The scripture says, listen, if someone gives you a word, if someone tries to encourage you, don't despise it, but you probably should test it. Recently, we were walking into a service, a brother came to me, he's like, brother, I feel like the Lord has a word for you, and he told me a word. And I said, and anytime someone does that, I'm just gonna say, my job is to receive that, and I'm gonna test it to see, God, do you want anything of that in my life? I'll often write it down. And I went up and went about to preach, and I thought, man, I don't feel like there's something there. The next week, that same guy came and he goes, Brent, I need you to know something. I was wrong to share that with you. That wasn't from the Lord. That was from me. I was like, great. Well, the scripture tells us how to deal with this, right? We don't need to be worried. The scripture says, don't despise it, but test it. Is it true? Is it not true? Okay. And some of you, again, are going in this moment, but isn't this too subjective? Isn't this... This feels really dangerous, Brent. Like the scripture's really clear. It's black and white. You have to do this. You don't do this. There's rules. There's check boxes. Some of you, that's your personality, and it's really comforting. Isn't this too subjective? And here's what I want to say to you. Please hear this. We do not need to be afraid of what Christ said was our benefit. You don't need to be afraid of what God said or Christ Jesus said. This is your benefit that I go away and the Spirit comes. So I want to give you a test. How do you test if the Spirit is speaking in your life? Because this feels subjective. How do you know it? This is, by the way, if you're searching for God's will in your life, if you're searching for anything, this is really helpful test. I think you should write it down. It's three S's, and this is important. It's in order of priority. So if you want to know, is God speaking to you? The first question is it in Scripture? Scripture. It's three S's. Scripture is the first one. Sorry, it's not on the screens. Scripture's the first one. Is there a command, a principle, wisdom in the scriptures that would guide you in this decision? This book is the gold standard for God speaking to you. It's, if you want to know, this is the gold standard. So what does the scripture say? The second is, what does the Spirit say? In this examples like what I just talked about today, what do you feel like the Spirit of God is speaking to you? Now, the reason it goes in that order is, you can get the Spirit wrong. Your personality could steer you astray. I need you to know the Spirit will never, ever say or speak to you something that goes against this book. I'm gonna say it again, and somebody should say amen. The Spirit of God will never say anything that's against this book, and you said amen. Amen. It won't. I've been a pastor for long enough. A lot of people have been in my office and be like, I feel like the Lord's given me freedom to blank, and I'm like, no, he hasn't given you the freedom. God's word is crystal clear. You are mistaken of how you've heard the Spirit. So we go scripture, then Spirit, and the last S is saints. Saints. I'm not talking about St. Francis of Assisi. I'm talking about people who have believed in Christ and have walked with Jesus. For me, the saints are this two things. They're people who know God and they know you. Don't you know you can find someone who doesn't know you very well that encourage you to do something dumb? But what are the saints around you who love God, who know your blind spots, who know your weaknesses? As you're trying to discern, is the Spirit of God inside? You go back to like the moves. I'm gonna look at scripture. God, what does it say? What I feel like your Spirit says? I'm gonna put those in front of people who know me really well. What do you think about this situation? And I'm gonna listen to them talk. Because if we're gonna discern the Spirit's move, the scripture, the Spirit, and the saints in that order, okay? And then some of you, I wanna give you a last thing and then I'll give you two things to go. Because you guys have listened a little slower than you should have this morning. This is from Daniel Nimmers. His dad, Pat Nimmers, is a great pastor in our area. And Daniel sent this to me. His dad says it. If you have only the word, you dry up. If you have only the spirit, you blow up. If you have the word and the spirit, you grow up. How helpful. Some of you have been studying this academically and you don't realize that the triune God wants to lift those words off your page, illuminate it in your life to guide you. But if that's all you got and you've never grounded yourself here, you're gonna blow up because you're gonna follow your whims wherever you wanna go. But if you do both in your life, God's gonna grow you up, sanctify you, make you more like his son, Christ Jesus. So how do you do it? Two things. We could talk sermons over each of these, but this is the first one. Listen for the Spirit. Listen for the Spirit. Acts 13:2 says, and as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Guys, you know this. God can speak in any situation. You go back to the Old Testament, he spoke through donkeys. Balaam's donkey, you guys remember that? God spoke through a donkey. He can do it however he wants, but I'm just telling you, I know for a fact he speaks when we're worshiping with God's word, we're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking him. So in your personal time of worship, listen as you're reading God's word. Is the Holy Spirit emphasizing anything? In corporate worship times, when we're worshiping, when you hear the sermon speak, is the Spirit of God saying anything? The most powerful moments that the Spirit has spoken in my life this last year have been on the front row. It wasn't this building, it was the FFA, and also when we're installing elders of the commons. Just in the middle of worship, it had nothing to do with the sermon I was preaching, but God, the Spirit of God met me in some tender moments. So when we're worshiping, when we're seeking him, and fasting. Guys, this is the reason we did prepare this year. Many of you were here in January when we did 3 days of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, because often when we put together our hearts to seek him, it's an active part of us listening to the Spirit. And number two, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I'm using this word because Galatians uses this phrasing. I think it's so helpful. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. When the Spirit speaks, we really have two options. I'm gonna give you two biblical examples of this and then we're done today. We can participate. When the Spirit speaks to us, we can participate with him. This is what happens with the apostles in Acts 15. For it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements. Another translation says, it seemed good for us and the Holy Spirit. And the apostles in the book of Acts, we're saying, God, you're speaking to us, and we embrace it. We're participating with what you want in this moment. But then we also see in 1 Thessalonians a real clear command, which is another option we have. Verse 5:19, don't stifle the Spirit. Don't stifle. Don't choke it out. Don't ignore it. And so when we listen to the Spirit, for us to keep in step, we need to participate and not stifle it. Would you bow with me? Here's my question for you is before we move on. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, have you believed in your life? Like, have you really come to grasp with the reality that the Holy Spirit is for your benefit? And not only is he for your benefit, he will speak to you. And the question is, are you listening and are you keeping in step with what he's showing you? You don't need to be afraid. You literally have every word that you need here, but the Spirit is gonna guide you through some of these things in ways that you need. But I also wanna speak to some of you in this room, because that reality of the Holy Spirit is true for those of us who've given our lives to Christ, because the scripture says that when we give our lives to Christ, that the Spirit indwells us. And not only he indwells us, he empowers us, and he will actually eternally seal us to take us to be with God. And so when we speak about the Holy Spirit, if you don't have salvation, if you've never trusted Christ, you don't have this counselor that God promised, but you can. And it looks like this. It looks like you saying, God, I can't save myself. When I listen to my own voice, I make a bunch of dumb decisions. But the scriptures clearly say that if we repent and believe, and we confess that Jesus is Lord, he will save us. And part of that salvation is he makes us new and he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us guide in all these areas. And so maybe for you today, that's the call. So God, for the believers in the room, I'm asking you that you would help them to understand that the Spirit of God is for their benefit. And in very practical, non-crazy ways, you would help them listen to your voice through the Holy Spirit this week. God, as they're reading their word, as they're reminded of truth, as they're looking for decisions, they feel you testifying to their conscience, God, maybe some revelation that would occur. God, would you help us listen? But then would you also help us keep in step, God? We're so fickle. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.